Hey y'all, this is Jungle from ActionFigureTherapy.com, and you're listening to What's on Joe Mind podcast. It's like a podcast with tits. Hell yeah.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to episode 35 of What's on Joe Mind. We're a weekly fan cast about the world of G.I. Joe. A special hello to everyone listening at our partner sites, GeekCastRadio.com, InsightPulse.com, Stitcher Smart Radio, and YoJo. Indeed, it's beginning to look and feel a lot like Christmas. It looks in my office like 70% of the people are taking off for the holidays already, and I feel about 10 pounds heavier from all the holiday food I've eaten. Regardless, thanks for making us a part of your holiday season. I'm Gary. Well, tonight is our special year-in-review and year-in-preview episode, and it marks the, including the pilot, the last of our 36 consecutive podcasts, weekly podcasts, mind you, which the first was posted way back April 25th that we produced in 2011. So, guys, including all of our special editions in 2011, we have produced 40 podcasts, has resulted thus far in 62 and a half hours of Joe Talk.
Holy crap. I need to get a life.
Oh, 62 hours.
Let's 62 and a half.
God bless you, people.
People listen to us twice. Can you imagine that? 120-something, 130 hours?
James Cavanaugh has some issues in.
Oh, that's true. Didn't he listen to us like... He listened to us all in one weekend or something like
that. Yeah. But we knew that anyways.
Yeah. He's got some brain damage anyway, so...
Damn brain cells keep getting killed. Joining me as always, without him, much of this would not be possible. It's our showrunner. Everyone, please say hi to Greg. Greg, how you doing?
Great. How are you doing, Gary?
Greg, I am doing great. You know why I'm doing great?
Because the Colts finally won.
How did you guess that, Greg?
And I've run out of football jokes to tell, so I was like, woo!
How convenient.
I'd hate to be not funny like Chuck, but anyways.
Snap.
Hey, Greg, a tough weekend for you guys. The Packers finally got a ding in their armor.
Yeah, it was to the Chiefs, too. Unbelievable.
I know, really. But think of it this way. If you should proceed through the rest of the season, go on to the Super Bowl and win, that will be a better 18-1 team than the Patriots from a couple years ago who lost in the Super Bowl.
How did I know you were going there? I felt that coming a mile away.
Did you really? I'm glad. I'm so predictable. But anyways, thanks for all the work you do, Greg. He is...
cold shoulder, man.
Yeah, no kidding. Did he just fall off again?
Getting cold in here.
He and his sight has played a major role in the success of our show. Since he joined our cast way back in episode 3, he is the admin of GeneralJoes.com, contributor to the G.I. Joe Collectors Club newsletter. Everyone say hi to Justin.
What's happening, Gary? How you doing?
Yeah, doing okay, Justin. Congrats to you and the Patriots for winning the AFC East for the 9th time in 11 years, proving once again how badly realignment needs to happen in the NFL.
Oh, come on. This but, from the guy in the AFC South. Huh?
So you defeated Tim Tebow, and now the Pats are gearing up for the playoffs, aren't they?
They are. We defeated Tim Tebow. There was nobody else on that team whatsoever. It was all just
now, provided, well, you would think. I mean, you think what do you score two of the touchdowns they had? But anyways, provided the Pats can get out of the first round, do you think they can get to Indy? And if so, who are they playing?
Oh, if they make it to Indy, which is a big if, I'm still not convinced they're going to make it to Indy.
I mean, neither am I.
It's their best defensive player they had, and as bad as their defense is, losing Andre Carter for the rest of the season is not going to be pretty. So as bad as it was, it can get worse. So I don't think we'll get to Indy, but if we do, I have a feeling it'll be the Cheeseheads.
I find the irony if Baltimore has to come here and play.
Yeah, that would be. Yeah. Hopefully they don't play like they did this past weekend, if they do.
And we can always lend them the Mayflower vans again.
You moved out in these here, you can move back.
Yeah, you can move back. Hey, Justin, looking back at the last year, would you envision a Joe podcast lasting this long?
No, I would not. I would not have imagined a Joe podcast at all, much less lasting this long. I think kudos. It's been quite an accomplishment, quite a fun ride. I definitely did not see this coming. I'm glad it did come. But yeah, it was a surprise.
Our next host, in all seriousness, he is the intellectual founding father of the podcast.
Wait, did you say intellectual?
I am so glad that you picked up on that, because please allow me to pause and collect myself for a moment after saying that, because in all seriousness, this is probably the last time we ever hear Chuck and intellectual and tied to the same sentence again. He's among the 1%ers of the fandom who refuse to buy into the hype of the trailer, but he shows up anyway simply because wrestling's not on tonight. It's the King fanboy himself, Chuck. Chuck, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing all right, Gary, but I gotta tell you, even I choked on that. Hey, come on now.
Choke on this. So, after all these podcasts now, Chuck, can you officially call yourself an internet personality or just a personality on the internet?
Well, I mean, I'll be honest with you. When we did that special 24-hour, part of that 24-hour Fooch cast, and I was on with Vangelis.
That was a four-hour Fooch cast, but yes.
4 hours. That was an all-day thing, but... And he anointed me internet personality. I felt that was my crowning moment as I assumed the title of internet personality. Of course, as I always say, yes, being an internet personality, that and $3.25 will get you anywhere you want in New York City with a transfer.
Evangelist, come on, man. Oh, man. Don't be getting into Chuck's head anymore. Come on, seriously.
It's fat enough as it is.
So there we go.
Craig. I didn't even mean that as a fat joke, Chuck. I'm sorry.
Okay. You're absolutely right. I do have a fat head. Just ask your mom.
Oh, we went to the mom joke right off the bat.
Ouch. Oh,
oh, yeah, that's what she said. Oh. Sorry. Okay, that's
already hung up on us once. You want us to do this again?
Greg, this is a good time. I hate to segue to you on the mom jokes, but it's a good segue, apparently.
I guess so. So, first of all, we just like to thank a whole bunch of people that have been big parts of the podcast. The list is long, but everyone on it deserves it. I just want to, first of all, thank everyone that's listened to the podcast, even for 5 minutes before you turned it off, and anyone that's left a review on iTunes or left us a note in one of the forums.
Even the crappy reviews. Thank you.
I think any sort of feedback, even if it's tongue-in-cheek or crummy, it's still good to hear that people are listening, and the ones that are enjoying it, I hope you keep on listening it to next year. We have a lot of great stuff planned.
Yeah, I got to echo what Greg said. It's almost impossible to go through and thank every single person who kind of contributed to this whole thing coming together. But I mean, first and foremost, I got to thank Gary and Chuck and Greg, number one, for starting this whole thing, and for number two, inviting me on in episode, what was it, 2 or 3? And most of all, for letting me stick around for the 31 or 2 episodes since then. It's been really cool. I've learned a lot doing this show. I've had a blast doing this show. I've learned I can survive on 4.5 hours of sleep on Tuesday night.
Same here.
But these guys, I owe them a lot. They've done some cool stuff for the hobby. This is not an easy task. We're not sitting here and just yapping into a microphone. Well, some of us are just sitting here yapping into a microphone.
I wonder who might that be.
Some show prep. There's a whole bunch of stuff that goes on behind the scenes. So these guys deserve all the kudos they get. I'm just along for the ride. So thank you to those guys for including me in this little adventure. It's been fun. And of course, you know, our listeners. I think Gary's probably going to go on a huge long list of all the various specifics of people who listen. But just looking at our traffic as it started out, decent numbers. We were happy with the numbers when we first launched. And seeing where we are now, you guys are doing it all for us. A bunch of listeners coming on board and sticking around and giving us great feedback, interacting on Twitter. I can't describe it. It's been fun. I've been getting soured on the G.I. Joe online community a little bit. Just hadn't really found a place I called home. Just was sticking to my own little section of the web. But getting this podcast out there and starting to interact with all these different people on Twitter, it's been a whole different rebirth of the G.I. Joe community, and I'm loving it. So thank you to all the listeners, and thank you to these guys for including me. It's been a great 2011.
I hate to be repetitive, but I have to echo what Justin and Greg said. First of all, I have to thank Gary, Greg, and you, Justin. When I had the idea to do this, was being born out of a bad place, for those of you who know the story. And I wanted to do something good. And to be honest, I didn't think anybody would pick up on it. But then Gary and Greg, you know, you guys were like, oh, yeah, I can do this, I can do that. And when we recorded and we started recording, I really didn't think we would last this long. I figured one of you would get bored with it. I might get bored with it. Then, you know,
we're still waiting for that.
Yeah. Justin joined in very quickly. You know, I have to thank Inside Pulse, Geekcast Radio Network, all the Joe sites, His Tank, Terradrome, Tri-State Vipers, General's Joe's. It's kind of redundant because I'm already thanking Justin. Joe Declassified, Joe Battlelines, all the sites that, like, feature us, front pages, Yo Joe. some of the friends of the site, Atomic Martians, the guys who do the YouTube reviews, Jason especially, they do, you know, always makes a point to mention us and myself every now and then. My friend Numbers, who was an interviewee very early on with ages 25 and up. James Kavanaugh, hysterical guy, buy his book. Gary Head, who was like our first super deluxe, like the hits we did on that episode. Ace Allgood, coming in talking about the 12-inch shows. If you guys haven't listened to that like first episode he's on, it is just so wonderful, the passion he brought to it. Now, and Gary, I know you have a little longer list of people you'd like to thank, so I hope I didn't take up too much of your time.
Oh, no, no. It wouldn't be right to thank people without actually just, you know, making a list and going through that. Everyone that's made this possible, whether it be through support or coming on the show. Yourself, Chuck, I thank you. Justin, I don't think without Justin's support, we probably wouldn't have gotten that little kick that gave us a little bump in that first five or so episodes by being front paged on, you know, the second most popular, third most popular.
I beg your pardon?
The number one website in all the world.
We have other websites I don't want to piss off, so I'm leaving a lot of ambiguity there, but I know where I go first every morning. Let's put it that way. Getting front paged on General Joe's was a big deal. The story behind before I get really thanking people is when Greg and myself and Chuck got together, and Gary Head was telling me, like, this came out of nowhere. You told nobody. It's because I thought it was going to fail. I didn't really want my name horribly attached to something that was going to fail. It sounded like it was going to be fun, but I figured we'd be about three episodes and we'd be done. And we'd get about 35, 40 people an episode. Like I said, 62 and a half hours later of content. And that's not what's on the cutting room floor. There's another 20 plus hours of outtakes on the cutting room floor. So there's 80 plus hours of recording that we've done alone, but you've only heard 62 and a half. I won't get into exact.
No, before you ask, we're not going to combine the remaining 20 hours into a special edition and release it.
I think about maybe doing it at points just so I can maybe free up some space on that file. We'll see, but yeah, right now it's not a big concern. Believe it or not, we are almost averaging about 1,000 listeners an episode. Compared to what other podcasts that I've compared us to that I can see their numbers, we by far beat a lot of other toy podcasts. And that says a lot about the fandom that's willing to listen to us in this different format. The format's different. It's news. It's kind of a fast-paced talk. And we're glad that you guys feel a part of it. Because as Justin and I said many times, and other folks that have come on the podcast that have been to a JoeCon, this is what it sounds like at JoeCon. So you are getting every week a little bit of taste of JoeCon based upon the way we all talk, but we average about 1,000 listeners a week, and I would never thought that we would get any more than a couple dozen when we first started this thing. So thanks a lot, and thanks for everyone that puts the word out and that subscribes. But starting at the top of the list of folks that we haven't thanked already, Mike Azzeri, who is our occasional pinch-hitting host, Mike Kettle, Ryan Costello of the Canadian JoeCon, Tristan Rudak for coming on, talking about Operation Blastoff, P-Love John, who got on the program rather early and has been on a couple times as a guest and a Sticky Dart Thread over on Joe Customs. His support's been great. Jay Hunger of the Coil Club, Craig Moore from the Fooshcast. I think some of the episodes that we had him on were some of our best.
Yeah.
We miss Craig.
Definitely. We miss Craig.
Craig's awesome. Quit your job. Come back to us.
Go back to being unemployed, Craig. Terry Desard of Yojo. The fact that we're able to be front paged on Yojo's news page says a lot about how he feels about the direction of this program and how important it is to the hobby. So I think that's really helped on a lot of hits on the program as well. Chris Murray, George Greeno, Chris from G.I. Joe Review. I guess if there's if the intellectual founding father is Chuck, then I guess the intellectual grand founding father would be Christopher from G.I. Joe Review and their entire team, because I don't think much of us would have thought much beyond doing that if he really didn't start doing G.I. Joe Review a couple years ago. So huge
he
thanks to them.
Intellectual tag. Chuck, not so much.
Give it to him. Mark Chang and Matt Kerr from Operation Red Retrieval, and actually seeing the reaction that our show in amongst the fandom and actually using it as a tool to promote their movie and to get feedback. And we'll be doing more work with them hopefully in the future. I can't thank them enough. Richard Whipple of Ratfink Customs, Jay Gish and Dave Stecko of Yojo Real American Hip Hop Musical. That was a fun episode. I had no idea where that episode was going when we were starting with it. And those guys were just super cool. And from everyone that went to that show, I believe they had a hell of a good time. Right, Greg?
You betcha. That was awesome.
And my understanding is they got a couple extra people just to show up to the show because they heard about it on the podcast. So, hey, we did our job. Cole Sickler for coming on from Crave. Fran O'Boyle, admin from His Tank. He's been very helpful. Kevin Watts. Dave and Don from Flagpoints, who used us as inspiration to spin off their podcast. We appreciate that. Dan, the founder and creator of ActionFigureTherapy.com. That continues to be our number one episode that we've ever done. And I think we've got a lot of listeners and earned a lot of listeners based upon that episode. So I can't thank him enough. Rich, founder of RealAmericanHero.com. Josh Carlson of Joe Declassified. Pat Stewart for coming on. Chuck and Ryan, co-host of Star Joe's. We've been Ryan and I have been talking behind the scenes with Chuck for coming on. Ryan, just for the continued encouragement. John Barber for taking time to come on the episode for that we recorded last week. To our sponsors, Todd at Kokomo Toys and John at Joe Armory for wanting to actually invest in the program and hopefully we're getting a return out of this. We really appreciate that. To all the other websites along the way that have supported this, and if I forgot you, I'm sincerely sorry. To Hasbro, the Collectors Club, and Paramount for all listening. We know you have. We really appreciate you guys at least taking a moment to hear us out. And really to all the fans for being patient and allowing us to get better along the way. We've had our growing pains with audio and all sorts of other issues. We've kind of settled in on a format. It seems to work. We appreciate it. And I would be remiss if I didn't say thanks to Sam Damon for Joe Declassified and just kind of giving us our first home to get this thing started. So, and then also my family for giving me most of the Tuesday nights and sometimes Wednesday nights for the last year to record without giving me much crap. So that's, we got to give a bunch of thanks. I know we haven't talked much about Joe, but these people have been important to doing something that I really consider is just fun. If this wasn't fun, I'm not going to do it anymore.
Yep.
And being able to, it would be fun for me still if there was just two or three people listening to the program.
Sure.
So as long as it's fun and it continues to be fun and you guys make it fun, then we'll be doing these things, or at least I will be doing these things. So I just got to thank you for allowing me to have some fun.
Well said. And thanks for making me feel like a dirtbag for not thanking my family. But
you could have just copied what I typed on our site. You know?
I do all the work. I don't know what the hell they do.
But that was very well said, Gary. And yeah, I can't do anything else besides, you know, echo everything he said. Obviously, we all four of us weren't going to recite that list verbatim. It'd be an 8-hour show, and Greg would hunt us all down and kill us. So we're not going to do that. But I just got to echo pretty much everything Gary said. I also want to give a special thanks to John Chu, who has taken some time out of his busy post-production schedule to, you know, jump on and chime in and keep us all up to date with Twitter, interacted a little bit on the back end, and he's been very open, very accessible, very cool. So I got to give a special shout out to him, and for also a thank you kind of for getting us a little bit on the map. You know, I don't know how much he's really promoted the show, but by interacting with our little live tweet sessions, I think he's really driven some attention to us. And obviously we've got people listening coming from Paramount, so something is getting out there. So I think he deserves a thank you as well.
And it's just not here in the USA. We reached out and have had listeners from now 35 countries.
That's crazy.
And yeah, from up above, you know, the Arctic Circle to soldiers in the field, which we'll get to one of them here in a second, mm-hmm. Out in Afghanistan. But every time I see it, it's just like, wow, you know, I got a new country listening to this thing, and it's just kind of amazing what everyone that listens to the program. Again, I just thank you. Thank you.
I don't think Chuck can even name 35 countries.
I hate you, Justin. I hate you with a passion that I usually just
Yay, we got on the snap
myself.
Finally.
Sorry, Chuck, my bad.
One extra person that we forgot to mention in the list, but it's also really important, is David Tree from All the Cool Stuff over in the UK. He's been a big fan of the show pretty much since the beginning, and we've been mentioning the Rollout Roll Call every week because we're a big fan of him trying to get collectors from the UK and from all over Europe to come and hang out and basically recreate what we do at JoeCon here over there. So a big ups to Dave. He's awesome.
Definitely.
Yeah, I mean, he thinks of us obviously enough for allowing us to call ourselves the official podcast of Rollout Roll Call 3. That's kind of says something. That's his show. That's his idea. That's his baby. So.
And people who don't know who Dave Tree is, he is, without puffing up his ego too much, he might be a name you haven't heard a whole lot of, especially over here in the States, but he's a pretty big deal when it comes to Palitoy and the Action Force stuff, and to get his endorsement like that is awesome. It means a lot to me, and it means a lot to us, so we definitely got to give a special thank you to him for including us and making us part of that whole convention over there.
So a final thank you. Thank you for joining us this year for the 40 episodes, and here's to the next 40 for next year, hopefully.
Or at least 20. We'll see.
If I had a beer, I'd say cheers, but I have my juice.
I do have a beer.
Justin's getting drunk.
For a beer-sicle.
Yeah, it's true. It was a beer when I brought it in. It's kind of, it's slush now. But...
Delicious.
It works.
Eating with a spoon.
That's right. Greg is our beer connoisseur. I did not realize that. But right. Anyways, Greg, back to you.
Yes. So let's get to our mailbag for the week, which is all voicemail, which is kind of fun.
You've got mail.
So this first one comes all the way from Afghanistan, from our friend Bill or William. We've mentioned him before, but he actually sent in a voicemail this last week that we want to play.
Hey, guys, it's Will Bell calling from beautiful, now Kandahar, Afghanistan, wishing you and yours a Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Rockin' Ramadan, Cool Yule, Frantic First. I just want to let you guys know I'm still enjoying your podcast. It's great when I get back to the FOB. I can listen on my iPod. Please, please keep up the good work, man. You guys are a bright spot in a crappy day. Hoorah! Go Navy, and we'll see y'all soon. Thanks, guys. Bye.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
And actually, he did send us an email. He says that his HM2, which is his designation, stands for Hospital Corpsman, Petty Officer Second Class, and that he has designations for being a diver, a parajumper, and a Fleet Marine Force Warfare designation, which is a FMF designation he has. And he says, as an FYI, my fire team has a roadblock, a doc, which is himself, and a gung-ho. So how cool is that?
That is awesome.
Yeah, that's very cool. Will, thank you for calling that in. That just made my year right there. That's awesome.
Stay safe, Will.
Yeah, definitely stay safe. Happy holidays, and give them hell.
I'm touched beyond all belief. Thank you, Will. You know, as everyone else said, stay safe, happy holidays, and get home safe and soon.
All right, on to our next voicemail.
Yeah, this one is from, it's a familiar voice, so we'll let you go ahead and hear it yourself. Here we go. Ready? And go.
Hello? Is this thing on?
I believe it is, Cobra Commander.
Excellent! So, hello there, what's on your mind? It is I, Cobra. So, my few questions have to do with previous G.I. Joe lines. My first question has to do with the original 1986 on through the Deke series.
Well, there you go, Justin.
What is your favorite Cobra Commander uniform?
Okay, good question.
My second question is, why must Chuck Dog bring up Transformers all the time?
Not a good question.
And finally, my last question, which has to do with, let's just say, a possible idea, although it'll never happen. What series would you like to see Hasbro bring back from the dead?
Good question.
Myself, I personally like to see the original Sunbow and Deeks to return to the airwaves with a new series. Not Renegades, not G.I. Joe Extreme. That is my command.
This I command.
Shut up, Serpentor. I will beat you with an inch of your life. Turn you into a toad. So, that is all what's on your mind. So, answer my questions, or else I'll send the entire Cobra Army towards your base. The USS flag. So long, Joes. Cobra! Retreat!
Okay.
All right.
So we got three questions.
The big man himself calling in.
Yeah, that's awesome. Three questions. Justin, what is your favorite Cobra Commander in the period that he designated?
Now, I heard him say 1986. What was the other half? 1986 to something?
I think it was the Deke series.
All right. Probably his 1987 Battle Armor gear. That's probably my favorite, although I'm not a huge fan of that. If we go further into the 90s a little bit, I really like his Battle Corps version. The black and silver uniform is great. If we're talking about toys, or are we talking about cartoons or what?
Just whatever, I guess, uniform that we saw him in or liked, I guess. I don't know. I'm going to agree with you. I like the Battle Armor Cobra Commander. I consider it more of a classic design these days. But
right, me too.
I really like it. What about you guys? What about the other two?
It's pretty sad when a terrorist has to call into us asking for compliments, basically.
Fashion advice?
Yeah. What do I look prettiest in? I was a fan of in the G.I. Joe movie where he's got the cape, with the black cape with the
armor. Oh, nice. Effect. Good call.
I like that one. That looked good.
Yep. That was a good look.
I got to go with his first appearance with the battle helmet and that nice blue suit uniform type stuff. I mean, that's how we were all introduced to him. I went with the helmet over the hood just because I felt that the helmet was a bit more practical for battle type situations. Like, you never really saw Cobra Commander throw down with his hood on. So.
Good point.
And why must Chuck Dog always talk about Transformers?
That's an internal question.
Chuck, what say you?
Okay, well, see, here's the thing. I can give you a nice educated answer as someone with a BA in English is known to do.
But I don't think
but
we want that.
But seeing as how I can't guarantee that Gary just won't put the crying baby sound bit over anything I say, my answer to you is going to be removing my headset and microphone and rubbing it against my genitalia for my closing. So there.
And that's why the baby cries, folks.
Oh, jeez.
Oh.
Put that back on his head. That's the most messed up thing about the whole thing.
That's not right.
Put that in your Cobra Command and suck on it.
Just rub that against your balls and then put it back on your head.
Yeah, no, you got your balls next to your face. But anyways. He's part of the teabag party.
Just teabagged himself.
And the third question, what series do we want to see Hasbro bring back from the dead?
Sigma 6!
Okay, alright, that's fair enough. Now, he didn't say, I guess he didn't say anything Joe, so it could be anything Hasbro, right?
Yeah, see, that's what I don't get. I don't understand if he was talking, then he started saying Sunbow and Deke, so I'm wondering, is he talking about cartoons?
Well, that's what he wanted.
Yeah, that's what he wanted, but for an evil terrorist leader, he's not very articulate.
He's a used car salesman. What do you expect? I guess Hasbro back from the dead, Mask. I know Mask originally was Kenner, wasn't it? But I like to see Hasbro, since they have it now, to bring it back from the dead.
Yeah, that would be cool.
And I agree with you, not in this RoboCop Detroit type thing, but more in its traditional form. Because I never got on the Mask train back in the day, so I wouldn't mind a re-release of some of the classic stuff or slightly changed up. It would work for me real well.
Just as long as it's made with better plastic.
Well, you had an issue with the old Mask plastic?
Oh, God. I'm trying to think off the top of my head. I think I maybe had, out of all the vehicles I had, maybe three didn't fall apart either right out of the box or after a day with playing with it. I mean, the plastic
Jeez.
Is just so cheap. I mean, it's not even funny.
Yeah, I don't remember having that problem with the vehicles. I had a bunch of those Mask vehicles. The figures were a little bit wonky, like their knee joints had a tendency to kind of warp and bend a little bit and get a little bow-legged, but the vehicles I remember being pretty solid, being pretty good.
The figures I loved, especially when they started making like the single-carded like Battle Adventurers. I mean, they had some really cool stuff with like grappling lines and things of that nature.
But, Scott and T-Bob.
Oh, yeah. I mean, come on. That was like the first one I got.
All right. So now we haven't just gone off the rails for Transformers. Now it's Mask 2, and it's actually Gary's fault. Good one, Gary.
Well, There's at least, I'm looking at a carded Mask figure with a G.I. Joe on his packaging right now. So at least it's suitable for discussion, I think.
Yeah, maybe.
Yes, a specialist tracker from the 25th anniversary line.
Greg, what do you say?
I don't know. Was Bravestar Hasbro?
It wasn't.
Very good. Very good.
Actually, maybe it was Hasbro. I mean, he's been a wise ass.
It was Mattel.
Oh, it was Mattel. Yeah, it was Mattel. You're right. I'm sorry. I should have known that.
No, but it was the funny part of what he said. That's, never mind. Thanks for killing it, Chuck. Chuck the joke killer.
All right, on to our next, final voicemail.
Oh, boy. Uh-oh. Is everyone ready for this one?
Oh, God. All right, hold on. Let me cue it up here.
Start it up the first time.
Okay, well, when everybody's ready, we'll just synchronize the play. Gary, it's on your count.
All right, stand by.
Hey, everybody, what's the good news? Been keeping up with everyone on Twitter. Love doing those tweets. Especially Justin and Chuck's. You're two messed up guys. Coming from me, that's saying something. Anyway, I thought for Christmas, I'd sing you a song.
Uh-oh, no.
I wrote this for myself.
Okay.
Raindrops on roses and boys without whiskers. Justin's been stirring the tequila mixer. Duct tape, mouth, and a whole tight restraint. These are a few of my favorite things. Santa's big sacking, stuff down your chimney. Door locks and deadbolts, so Chuck will not leave me. Gary and Greg with peanut butter on their way. These are a few of my favorite things. Girls in white dresses with blue satin sashes.
Boy.
I'd rather hump Chuck and get all his rations. Sticky white liquid that Justin flings. Few of my favorite things. When boys don't bite, when my tea stings, when I'm feeling sad, I simply remember my favorite things, and then I don't feel so bad. Hope everyone has a great holiday. Chuck, can't wait to come down your chimney. Call me.
I will not be putting the lyrics into the show notes. I want to get kicked off all the forums.
You don't want your fiancé to find out.
Wow.
I'm never going to be able to look. I have like a dish of peanut butter M&Ms.
Oh, man.
Thank you, Herb from Rhode Island.
I just say, I am actually kind of sort of glad that he's gotten all you guys involved in it now, and it's not just like love songs to me anymore.
I mean, apparently it's Christmas. He's in a giving mood. I don't know.
But, well, you know, anything that makes Greg more uncomfortable than usual.
That is our last mailbag for 2012. Thank goodness. So, speaking of 2011, this is our year in review episode. So let's talk about the year of 2011 a little bit. As it goes for G.I. Joe, I think this was actually a pretty darn good one, in my opinion. We had a whole ton of figures, and a lot of them are actually really good. The vehicles that we got, they weren't numerous, but I think that the quality trumps quantity in this instance. And we also had a G.I. Joe cartoon on the air for the first time in many years, so that was good to see as well. So I just want to say probably my favorite part of the year was Pursuit of Cobra, even though we only really got three waves. Three waves that we did get were pretty awesome, because it was Wave 4, so that was Low Light and Shadow Tracker, and then the two last waves, which were harder to get, but had some really good repaints like Viper and Cobra Trooper.
Definitely, yeah. If you sit back and look at 2011, it's kind of funny, because as 2010 was kind of going along and people were hearing about Renegades, it was all Death of the Line, and, you know, this Renegades is going to come on and make everything more animated, and our G.I. Joe was gone for good. Turns out that 2011 ended up being one of the strongest years we could have for G.I. Joe, and like Greg said, yeah, there wasn't a lot of stuff, but almost everything was such high quality that you just couldn't go wrong. You know, you made a great point starting off the year with Wave 4, and getting, what was it, a Shadow Tracker and Low Light, and wasn't it that City Strike Destro was any part of Wave 4 and Skydive?
Yep.
Those were the first four figures of Wave 4, and believe it or not, if you can believe it, it actually got better from there. It's amazing. And if you include what we're getting in the 30th anniversary so far, you know, especially Wave 3, and I don't know if Wave 4 is technically going to be a 2012 entry or if it counts for 2011, it's kind of hitting on the tail end. It's just been amazing. And kind of preparing for the show, I went down through my reviews for 2011, and It really is. It's incredible. The amount, sheer number of great figures that were released in 2011 was amazing. And like Greg said, there was also obviously G.I. Joe Renegades was airing on the Hub, which was a big deal. You know, whether people liked it or not was kind of beside the point. Just getting G.I. Joe on TV in animated form again was very cool. And it was a great cartoon too, which certainly helped. It was, all in all, it was a really great year. And I've got to echo what Greg said as far as the favorite part was just kind of, you know, Hasbro really hitting their groove with figure design, kind of really getting the hang of reusing the parts they did to kind of take those existing parts and really make them last. You could really tell they took that Wave 3 Snake Eyes and Shock Trooper and kind of designed those fairly generic figures and solely to use them to extend the line and to use those tools for new figures coming up. And they did it perfectly with, you know, Cobra Viper, Cobra Trooper, Steel Brigade. So I think, yeah, 2011, that's probably what I'll remember most, is just Hasbro being able to really find their footing and take advantage of existing tooling and still bring us some very cool new figures. I'd love to say G.I. Joe Renegades is my absolute favorite part. You know, kind of left on a sour note, so I'll stick with what Greg said and probably said my favorite part is what they did with these new toys.
I mean, I think out of everything we got this year, I mean, the real highlight had to be after years and years and years of asking, we finally got a Sky Striker.
Doesn't
even cost an arm and a leg. It's not a store exclusive. You know, it's not mail order only or anything like that. It's just a great vehicle to have again, to have one in one piece that's decent condition. But just, I mean, that was the thing with Greg said, like, we didn't get a lot of vehicles. But the vehicles we got were really good, to be honest.
Even the repainted ones.
Yeah, I mean, you really didn't even need that many. I mean, you got that Vamp Mark II. I mean, that can hold like 5-8 guys.
Yep.
You got that great Black Dragon VTOL. But I mean, the figures, when Hasbro really started rolling out that new wrist articulation more, we have our definitive Snake Eyes, we have our definitive Storm Shadow, we had a great low light. Just the fact that we got him, he looks so good, comes with so many accessories that he can carry all of them, which I think is hysterical. and then the Renegades figures, that it was the perfect combination of the animation look with the traditional G.I. Joe aesthetic. I won't say that the Renegade Snake Eyes is the definitive Snake Eyes. Obviously, that goes to that Pursuit of Cobra Wave 3 Snake Eyes. But man, is he close. I mean, that's really a great figure. And that Stalker, yes, that's predominantly reused parts and reused accessories. But what they were able to do with it, like Justin said, they really, I think this is a new golden age for like repainting and retooling when it comes to the Joe line, that they're really becoming inventive with it.
Yeah, Chuck mentioned an extremely good point on the Sky Striker. The year started off really well, not only with the waves of figures, but Toy Fair right out of the box. I remember getting the first text from Justin, "We're getting a Sky Striker." I'm like, "Oh, okay." And then the follow-up announcement of, "Oh, we're getting Zarana for San Diego Comic-Con," as another solid convention exclusive.
Yep.
Going forward in the year, I think JoeCon in Orlando was a success. Fact that they sold the set out, and fact of the matter is you can hardly find them, and the resale value of that set continues to be high, says a lot about the want and need of that particular set. Justin and I were talking about this earlier. We saw a thread on his tank about it being the best set ever. I'm not going to go out on a limb and say it's the best set ever. In fact, I actually think it's far from it, but It's definitely a good set, and I'm glad it did so well with the club. Renegades, we had a successful campaign on IDW to name a new Cobra Commander and its whole Civil War storyline, and they were killing off Joes and Cobras and not causing a lot of ruckus in the fandom for the most part. The movie news kind of started off as, really? And then actually didn't turn out to be that bad. And then it culminates into an awesome trailer that we got a week or so ago.
Yep.
I remember the first reports of The Rock, and they're like, really? Seriously, The Rock's going to be in this thing?
Yep.
It's awesome. Then Bruce Willis and John Chu were like, really, John Chu? And then, well, we gave the guy half a chance, and so far, so good. I would say that as the year goes, I don't think this year, 2011, will top what we're going to see next year in 2012. But in terms of a precursor to what we hope will be a better year, I don't think we have really much to complain about at all this year.
I agree. And one thing that I feel remiss that I didn't mention also was the kind of resurgence. I know you touched on IDW with the Cobra Commander story a little bit, but I think the resurgence of the classic G.I. Joe universe with the Real American Hero comic, I think, was a big thing that really happened in 2011. I think that actually came back out in 2010, but it really kind of developed into what what it is now in 2011. And for the first time, I really think for the first time since the 90s, we've gotten a real credible continuation of that old Marvel universe that's really
carrying
on.
It's my favorite book by far.
Yeah, definitely. So I think that's a very cool thing that happened in 2011 as well.
Now, there was a couple things this year I was disappointed in, and I hope we don't see repeats of these. The distribution issues on items such as the Ashiko bike and the His Scout not making it down to the States. There needs to be a better job of making sure that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Hasbro somehow needs to make those available through Hasbro Toy Shop or whatever. That was a glaring fault. The trend of wait for Ross, it was kind of disturbing.
Yeah.
I'd like to see, and again, I think a lot of that had to do with distribution and availability of some of the product. I believe, I don't want to say, was it a Sand Serpent this year? I don't know if a Sand Serpent was this year or last year.
I don't know if it was this year or last year.
It all kind of blends together when you start talking about the wait for Ross crowd, but those are just a couple bad things in the last year. Most of it was good, but there were a couple bad things, but I'm not really, really complaining.
Back on the good side, along with the comic book stuff, I'm really glad that they've continued putting out the collections of the classic Marvel run, including special missions.
Yes.
As a guy that never had a chance to read them as a kid, reading them in the collected volumes is just awesome. I've been tearing through them left and right. Also, Sideshow, I think, really started hitting its stride this year for his 12-inch figures.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure exactly which ones were released this year. I know for sure that Viper and General Hawk just came out, and both of those, from what I've seen, are just fantastic. But going back further, Stalker was released this year, and he looks like a great figure. And I think Dusty might have been this year as well. And he looks pretty good, too. He's a nice updated version of Dusty. You know, some people had some issues with the goatee. But things are great in 2011, and I think they're only going to get better next year, hopefully.
It's amazing. Now, when you actually sit there and go through the year in review, I mean, when you think of G.I. Joe, you think of a line that's kind of plodding along and just filling space until Hasbro does the next movie. But you sit there and you look at it and go, oh, my God, there's a lot of really cool stuff that came out in 2011 for a line that's kind of between big media events. It's pretty impressive, all the great product that's out there, all the great media tie-ins that were out there this year. I think nobody can really fault Hasbro for not trying to get G.I. Joe in the face of fans. I mean, they definitely, between the animated series, the upcoming movie, the comic books and everything, there was a lot of stuff to love about G.I. Joe in 2011, especially for something supposedly on its last legs.
And you don't know what's cool about this year with G.I. Joe?
What's that?
Not to pat ourselves on the back, but what's on Joe mind?
Absolutely. Best thing of 2011.
By far.
Screw that retaliation trailer.
Unfortunately, it was not all good news this year. Gary, would you like to set us up?
Well, thanks, Greg. The last year has unfortunately seen members of our family leave us. And it would never be a year in review show without the obituary. Greg, tell us about someone in the Joe line that passed away this year.
Well, I would have to say that the one that hit me hardest was definitely Pursuit of Cobra. I think if I would sum up what I like about G.I. Joe, the six waves of Pursuit of Cobra and the vehicles that came out as well, they really are exactly what I want out of G.I. Joe. I want near future technology. I want tons of accessories. I want great paint applications, good articulation, and basically Pursuit of Cobra had every single one of those things, and great reimaginings of characters that I love, like Beachhead and Low Light and etc. So I will miss Pursuit of Cobra very much. I hope that Hasbro has taken what they can do with Pursuit of Cobra and continues pushing it in. And I mean, we've seen it in 30th anniversary, but Pursuit of Cobra, you will be missed.
I would like to take a few minutes to honor the loss of G.I. Joe Renegades. It was an animated series that was a little bit before its time. Had great writing, great animation, great character cameos. Hasbro really seemed like they were finding the right formula to kind of get G.I. Joe on screen. They didn't look too hard at the military stuff. You know, there was some kid humor in there, but there was a lot of serious, mature adult writing, some more adult themes, lots of action. It was a great animated series. It lasted 26 episodes. It was just coming into its own before its life was so brutally snuffed out by our Hasbro overlords. We'll always remember you, G.I. Joe Renegades, and Hasbro, you can go screw yourself.
Amen.
Getting a little emotional now.
Chuck, you okay?
Yeah, I'll be all right, Gary. I'll overcome. I'm good. Have to remember the great Data Viper. We hardly knew ye. Literally.
So much potential. So little time.
Oh. Gary, I don't know how you can follow that up.
I really don't. Unfortunately, we lost a true leader. And no, we're not talking Kim Jong-il. No, we are talking Cobra Commander at the ripe old age of 29. That's right, 1982 to 2011. Cobra Commander is not only the nameless, faceless Cobra Commander, but now he actually is a person instead of a pissed off used car salesman or some zombie snake monster or something from the pit. He's gone forever. He is now, in the IDW universe, a person known as Crake. And we will miss you at the ripe old age of 29. And those are the obituaries for 2011. If you are missing a member of the Joe family and you'd like to point them out, email the program and we will definitely love to read your obituary with sad music playing in the background as well at whatsonjoemind@gmail.com. Now back to you, Greg.
And right back to you because we're going to intermission.
And we are at intermission, so you know what time that means, right?
Hobbit trailer time?
Yep, Hobbit trailer time.
Muting all you guys and watching The Hobbit. Bye bye.
Well, I do believe it's roll call 3 announcement time. And we have a new hint. Now, unfortunately, it'll have to be in the show notes. I can try to describe it, but it won't do very good. But roll call 3 blurb. The first hint is I'm red, white, and blue. The second hint, it's a picture. So it will be in the show notes. Like I said, Greg can grab it. Got a note from Dave saying that John Good is no longer able to make the show. However, this may change, and he will keep everyone updated. Everyone, you could join other Action Force Joe and Transformer collectors from all over the UK, Europe, and possibly North America at Rollout Roll Call 3, Europe's largest G.I. Joe Transformer convention. Join guests John Paul Bove, Simon Groh, James Edock, Jim Sorensen, Bill Forrester, Robert Atkins, Andrew Wildman, Simon Furman, and Larry Hammett on March 10th and 11th, 2012, at Southampton's largest hotel, the Jury's Inn, overlooking beautiful East Park. For ticket info, stop on by www.allthecoolstuff.co.uk or at Rollout Roll Call on Twitter. And as always, keep it glued to the latest episode of What's on Joe Mind for future announcements. What's on Joe Mind is the official podcast of Rollout Roll Call 3. On to the break for sponsor information and some new promos from the Geekcast Radio Network.
This portion of What's on Joe Mine is brought to you by Kokomo Toys. Find one of the largest selections of G.I. Joe anywhere in the Midwest, from vintage Joes to the latest straight from Hasbro. They're independently owned and operated. Visit their store in Kokomo, Indiana, or online at kokomotoys.com today. Here's how you can contact the show. Email us at whatsonjoemind@gmail.com. Text or leave us a voicemail at 262-515-9656. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/whatsonjoemind. Visit our homepage at whatsonjoemind.podbean.com, where you find links to our social networking profiles and active community forum threads from such sites as Joe Declassified, The Terradrome, Joe Customs, TNI, and the G.I. Joe Collectors Club, if you can find it.
It's a low blow, Gary.
Got an Apple device? Go to the iTunes Store and subscribe to the show. Hear us on the go with Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher works on Apple, BlackBerry, WebOS, and Android devices. Download the app for free at Stitcher.com or at your mobile app store. Stitcher Smart Radio and What's on Joe Mind, together, we're the smarter way to listen to radio. Find our podcast mirrored every week at InsidePulse.com. Inside Pulse is a pop culture mega site covering movies, music, sport, games, and more. Check out the pulse of pop culture at InsidePulse.com. We're part of the Geekcast Radio Network. Geekcast Radio Network features multiple podcast featuring Transformers, cartoons, movies, television, general geek topics, and interviews with many famous voice actors from your favorite shows. So go there now and unleash the geek in you and tell them how much you enjoy What's on Joe Mind. And now a few words from our partner podcasts.
2012 marks the 30th anniversary for Masters of the Universe. We here at the GCRN are celebrating with a brand new series of podcasts. The Powers of Grayskull series will cover every episode of every MOTU cartoon. Yes, even that crappy New Adventure stuff. Join Optimus Solo and TFG1 Mike as they tell tales of Eternia, discover the myths of Etheria, become masters in space, and finally, masters of Grayskull. You can find the Pogs podcasts in iTunes and the web at www.geekcastradio.com. Good journey.
Is this thing on? Oh, goody. Why, hello there. It's your dear old Uncle Joker here. I bet you're asking yourself, what could I be possibly doing here, of all places? Well, I'm laughing at the fact that this new podcast presented by Geekcast Radio is called Legends of the Dark Knight. Who the heck knew the bat was so popular? Ugh! Join Steve, Mike, and sometimes Tara for reviews on the greatest DC animated universe cartoon to ever meet Gotham City. So join moi for the talk of the town, or I'll send Captain Clown after you. He gets mighty angry when he doesn't get to have his garbage skull. So put on a nice big smile and join us for the next Geekcast Radio Network podcast, Legends of the Dark Knight.
And we're back. The news is brought to you by JoeArmory.com. Joe Armory is a proud sponsor of What's On Joe Mind. Stop on by JoeArmory.com to experience the internet's largest source for all things G.I. Joe, from 12-inch to 3¾ and everything in between. Joe Armory is your source.
And now to Greg for the news.
All right, so we finished talking about 2011 and the recap of it, so now it's time to look forward to 2012. And 2012 is going to be awesome. There's a whole lot of stuff going on starting pretty much right away. We have Toy Fair, which is February 12th through the 15th in New York.
Justin will be there, right?
I'll be there.
What's on Joe Mind coverage for Toy Fair? Good.
That's awesome. So that'll be hopefully our first sights of the Retaliation figures and vehicles and playsets and all sorts of fun stuff, what we can always hope.
Yep.
And then on March 10th and 11th, we have Roll Out Roll Call 3, which is at the Jury's Inn in Southampton, England.
And we're hoping what's on Joe Mind will be there. We'll see.
We're hoping so. And then we have JoeCon 2012, which is June 21st to the 24th in New Orleans. Which
your asses better be there.
So you can bet your ass what's on Joe Mind will be there.
And then right after that, we have G.I. Joe Retaliation, June 29th in America, and release dates will vary by country. I have heard it might hit other countries before America, which is becoming more common, surprisingly.
Yeah, it was weird. That guy from the Philippines that saw a slightly modified trailer in the theater said the release date said June 22nd, which was kind of odd, but...
And I thought I heard something about August for Australia. So we'll find out, though.
Cool.
And then we have San Diego Comic-Con, which is July 12th through the 15th in beautiful San Diego, California.
I don't think What's On Joe Mind will be there.
No, we don't have any coverage. But if there's anyone who'd like to volunteer, let us know.
Absolutely. Anybody going to San Diego Comic-Con wants to use a Skype app on their phone or something and hook us up, we'd love to have it. And buy us the exclusives while you're at it, too.
Hell yeah.
And then we have the Canadian JoeCon, which is August 10th and 11th at the Sheraton Toronto Airport Hotel and Conference Center. Gary, are you thinking of going back to Toronto this year again?
Yep, I will represent. Are you thinking about it?
Probably not that this year. It's getting a little bit too close to the wedding time, I think.
Oh, that means Justin Bell.
What's your priority? Justin Bell. Pinch hitting.
Justin Bell, pinch hitting.
Whoa. Easy now. Remember, my parole doesn't let me leave the country, so we gotta work out that situation first.
Chuck can try to smuggle you in, I think.
he got Greg out. He can get you in.
There's all those back roads.
Yep, piece of cake.
Or poutine, depending on how you look at it.
Yeah. Just hook me up with some poutine when we get there.
And then we also have CoilCon number 3, which is September 8th in Kokomo, Indiana.
Oh,
which
we will represent there. Yeah,
yep,
you better.
Make that one.
You better.
We'll see.
You better.
Gary's going to blow that one off. Too far a drive.
Oh, Justin.
And those are just the ones that we know about. If anybody else has Joe meetups that they're planning on putting together, if the Iowa guys are planning on doing another one next year, just let us know. We'll definitely mention it on the podcast.
Ones that I can think of offhand, actually, we were kind of remiss not to mention Joe Lana, but that's happening in March. But I know Connecticut has 2 or 3 shows. Texas has a show, Sacramento has a show or two. If you know of any of those shows, let Greg know. He's our community announcement guy, and he'll make sure to announce.
I got my bulletin board set up. So that's 2012 in a nutshell for big events happening.
No kidding. It's man, that's going to be such a crazy year. I love it. Love it.
You know, I was telling back in 2009 when the first movie, Rise of Cobra, I said, you know, that we might not see a year like this ever again. Thank God we're seeing another year like it again. Yeah. Hopefully bigger.
Yeah, well, I think movie-wise it'll be bigger. I don't know if we will ever see a year like 2009 again product-wise. I don't think we're going to get as much product this year as we got in 2009. But I think as far as hype goes, and yeah, I think we'll definitely see from a Hollywood perspective, I think we'll definitely see a year like we did in 2009. I'm expecting better.
All right, moving on to some more news. At last check, the G.I. Joe Retaliation trailer on YouTube has 6.5 million views.
Woo!
Which is awesome.
Wow.
3.2 of them were me.
Woo!
And we've also received word that the trailer is being shown before Mission Impossible 4, no matter what screening it's at, even if it's not the IMAX one. But if you do see an IMAX, I've heard it's awesome.
Hey, Justin, the IGN trailer rewind thing that you put on your site.
Yes.
Very handy. I've never watched them before, and I watched it on this one. I was impressed to hear their assessment and their excitement over the whole thing, which is good. And another thing I picked up on, I'm pretty sure that is Roadblock standing on top of one of those RIP tanks or his tanks or whatever you call them, firing off that that 50 cal. But the biggest thing about watching all these other people breaking down the trailer that you know aren't Joe fans like us is you know they're Joe fans and not Joe fans like us, and you're hearing positive things.
Exactly.
And it's more and more, I'm beginning to just get better and better vibes, and I know we talked about keeping expectations low, and it's hard to keep those under control right now because you're like, gosh, I mean, everyone is just kind of digging this thing, unless your name's Chuck. And
like you said, I mean, 6.5 million views on YouTube, and currently its like rating is 97%.
Awesome.
So that's crazy. That's crazy. So, I mean, obviously not all 6.5 million people are clicking the like button, but of the people that do click the like button, 97% of them are liking it and not disliking it, giving it the thumbs up. So that is such a huge difference. And I do have to take a couple seconds to isolate one site in specifically. It's a site called Topless Robot. I don't know if you guys check that out at all. It's kind of a geek news site. He is notoriously pessimistic. He is all it's a guy named Rob. He used to work for Toy Fair. He takes a very kind of analytical look at movies, you know, geek-oriented movies to come out, and he doesn't very often have good things to say because he's a purist at heart. He totally crapped on Rise of Cobra from the minute the first trailer aired. Absolutely hated every minute of it, and he's flipping out over the Retaliation trailer. I think his headline actually said, G.I. Joe Retaliation trailer is effing brilliant. And so, coming from him, I take that as a big compliment because he is a toy purist, and he's not necessarily a diehard G.I. Joe fan. He's a toy fan. He's a geek fan. He covers a lot of anime, stuff like that. And he's not a diehard G.I. Joe guy. And so if somebody like that is finding such good things to say about it, it's all good. And I'm stunned at all the different articles. I've been following Retaliation coverage nonstop for a week or more now since the trailer has aired. And every single article I read, every single thing I see that reflects G.I. Joe Retaliation is positive. It's amazing. It's like a complete 180 from what we were seeing in Rise of Cobra. And I know it's just the trailer, and I know it's way too early to get all fired up and all ramped up and all excited, but it's so awesome just to see so much positive response. Especially, we've been beat over the head time and time and time again since 2009 about G.I. Joe The Rise of Cobra. It's, you know, you get tired of it after a little while. Yes, I know the first movie wasn't that great, you know, yada yada, and just getting continually, you know, have it shoved in your faces to finally get something really positive out there in Hollywood and out there in the public eye. It's such a good feeling. And I just got to give Paramount and John Shue big kudos for getting this thing out there, because it has made a world of difference in being a G.I. Joe fan. It's something I can actually say with pride now and not try to kind of apologize for it. It's a cool thing.
Well, I think even looking at trends on our show, episode 34 that we just put up a week or so ago, it's trending faster than the previous two episodes in front of it. So it just kind of says the people that are wanting to find out more or finding the show and listening to kind of what the fans have to say.
Yep.
And I'm not so much interested really what the fans have to say, because we all seem to be pretty much behind it. But it's like Justin says, it's those people that run these pop culture entertainment sites that aren't the hardcore Joe fanboys that are giving back the good feedback, or I don't know what you call the guy with that you were just speaking of, if you would call him a hardcore fanboy or not, because he lambasted the last one pretty good, and just to get a good review out of him this time actually says something. But I like the non-mainstream positiveness that's coming out of this.
Yep, definitely.
Right, and then speaking of G.I. Joe Retaliation, the rumor mill is churning that we're going to see a 4-pack possibly hitting Amazon. So this was posted on FullMetalHero.com, which I believe is a UK forum. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, and the time frame for the release, it's a gentleman that works for Amazon, apparently. He saw it in the computers. Time frame for release is apparently April or May of 2012 with a suggested retail price of $39.99. And I think the four figures that were mentioned were Cobra Commander, Roadblock, Snake Eyes, and Firefly?
Yes.
Actually,
Storm Shadow, wasn't it?
Yeah, Storm Shadow.
Storm Shadow, Snake Eyes, Firefly, and Cobra Commander. Okay.
No, Roadblock, Firefly, Snake Eyes, Storm Shadow.
Okay, we could just do it. Go ahead and say it off again. I'll read it.
I just checked the site. It's
Serpentor
and Scoop. Shipwreck.
Scoop, yes, exactly.
Skidmark.
Speaking of Skidmark, how you doing, Chuck?
I'm doing good, Justin. Thanks for asking. You ask. Yeah.
just looking out for you. All right?
So the four figures are, he has listed Roadblock, Cobra Commander, Snake Eyes, and...
Oh! Wait, he had Cobra Commander listed?
Yeah, I swear I kept saying Cobra, and then when you said no Cobra Commander, I'm like, really? I kind of thought...
Bad.
Edit that post, Justin Bell. Edit that post.
Posted like a week ago, too.
We want to thank Justin Bell for playing this week. You have a beautiful parting gift.
So wait, Justin was wrong. So this whole week I've been thinking it was going to be Firefly and Roadblock. You know.
It is Firefly and Roadblock.
But not in the preview pack. No Firefly.
No
Firefly. I just read them off.
Jesus Christ.
Holy crap.
I'll read very slowly for Justin.
I believe.
That
sucks. So Roadblock, Cobra Commander, Snake Eyes, and Storm Shadow.
Storm Shadow. You betcha.
Justin, you are not playing to win the game, I'm telling you right now.
I don't. I could have sworn it said
you
Firefly.
Play to win the game.
Oh, well.
How do you guys feel about that figure selection, if it's true?
I think as a preview pack, it's better than putting out three...
Two troopers and an officer?
Yeah. As long as the deco for them or the figures are a little different than what we see in the single packs, I'm fine with it.
Yeah, I think it's a good call. They covered kind of all the major characters, except Firefly. God damn it. But they did, you know, Roadblock and Cobra Commander make sense. And, you know, obviously it's going to have Snake Eyes and Storm Shadow in there. So yeah.
The interesting one there is Roadblock, because all of them are masked.
Yeah.
And will it be a rock head sculpt? I'm going to guess no. I'd love to see it a rock head sculpt, though. But I'm going to guess no, since the other three are masked figures.
Yeah, they're be done with reused tooling pretty easily, yeah.
I've seen people already complaining about the $40 price point. Keep in mind, things are always subject to change between now and then. Still $10 a figure, get it early, get it as exclusive from a mail-away place, if that, I don't know what that includes for shipping and everything. It is a little on the expensive side. I mean, count me in, I'm going to get one. Surprise, surprise, shocking, I know, but $40 is a little steep, though, I think.
That's, for a 4-pack, that does seem a little...
I wonder if something else maybe come with it, maybe some PR stuff for the movie or something in there that kind of would offset that cost. I don't know.
Yeah, it's a good question.
Or maybe that $40 cost covers the rock head sculpt. I think it would be kind of odd to have a Roadblock movie figure and not have it. I mean, I don't think the figures are going to look exactly like their real-life actor counterparts, but I think, you know, it'll look something like The Rock.
No, I'm not going to say that extra bump in price is going to cost to cover the Dwayne Johnson's head sculpt. We know we're going to see Dwayne Johnson as a figure, though. I mean, we know that.
But they're bottling actual Dwayne Johnson sweat, and they're putting it in the package.
Well, there you go. Okay.
the figures are free.
You're paying for the sweat. The figures are free, right?
I hate that stuff.
Yeah. Jeez.
Retaliation. You can hear the rumor that Slaughter and his Rawhides are going to be having like a cameo in the movie.
That's speculation and unconfirmed. Yeah. We should not be spreading that whatsoever.
I was just going to say, it's a bunch of crap, but okay, I agree with you, Gary.
Pretty sure you're right. The site that it's coming from is comicbookmovie.com, and I'll be honest, there's been times when they've taken posts of mine verbatim, like literally word for word, copied and pasted it to their site. And they put like a source like way down at the bottom of the page, kind of almost hidden from view, that tells you where they got it from, but it's not obvious. So it's worded like they're writing the article when it's really copied and pasted. And they've done it to Jason from the Terradrome too. It's I don't know how much I buy their rumor talk. I mean, I don't, it's possible, I guess. It'd be pretty neat cameo, but I wouldn't bank on it.
IT boys, find me an address. I'm going to go kick some ass. Nobody steals it. Justin gets away.
Yeah.
All right. Next up in news, I mentioned it earlier, but the Sideshow Viper has been released. The exclusive head for this one was a little different. They included a head that kind of, like, I think they called it basically a paratrooper head, but it's an unmasked version of the Viper with a different helmet, and then he has goggles that are removable. Mm-hmm. So the people at Sideshow Freaks are really, really liking it, though. The face mask is the full vac metal chromed, which you're used to seeing on a small 3 3/4 inch figure, but on a 12 inch figure, it really looks awesome.
Yeah. Oh, God, it's a sore subject for me. The minute that thing went on pre-order, I jumped on and I pre-ordered two of them, and then I kind of rethought it, you know, a little while later. I'm like, yeah, I can't do that, and I canceled my pre-orders.
You thought of Jen kicking his ass
exactly,
when he walks
yeah.
through the door.
What's this credit card? $260? I'm like, and they're two of the same figure? I'm like, so yeah,
They're bookends! It's a matched pair!
That didn't happen. So I'm hoping at some point eventually I'll be able to get my hands on
what
one.
What you need to tell her is that they don't buy just one of one shoe.
One's the left and one's the right, see?
There you go.
That's comparable.
Gary, does that work for you?
Sometimes.
I wouldn't count on it.
Sometimes.
Deb's smarter than that.
Yeah.
Okay. As Gary pointed out a little bit earlier today, that on BBTS's website, the 7-packs, so that's the Marauder set and the Dreadnought set, are now showing early January 2012 for the release date. Originally, we were thinking that they were going to be December, but they're pushed back till next year, which not too bad. Could be worse.
Just go ahead and send me
those of us who already have them.
Yeah, I'm about to say, Justin, just go ahead and send me yours.
Sucks for the rest of you.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah. I feel bad for all the Joe fans that don't get their hands on these 7-packs yet, because they're cool. Yeah. You'll just have to go and live vicariously through the awesome reviews.
Well,
on
that might not be a bad thing for some folks. You can buy extra Christmas gifts or something, because you know it's not going to ship until after Christmas. You know, so that will give you, what is it, $80, $90 there to spend on something else. So.
Yeah, and it's been a pretty busy time for getting figures in, so I'm okay pushing those off till next year.
Me too. Yeah.
Yeah.
You really don't appreciate them as much if you've got 15 figures sitting there just waiting to be reviewed, and you're just like, or not reviewed, well, reviewed by some people.
I'm going to say, yeah, that's such a hard job you have reviewing figures there, Greg.
I review for myself, and don't you know.
No, what I do see these bumping up against paying for JoeCon and the subscription service.
Ooh, yeah, that's a good call. Well, I don't know. I mean, who knows when the subscription service is going to come up.
Well, I know. I don't see the club doing anything between now and, you know, 1-1, so...
Yeah, it's probably going to be a 2012 thing. Yeah.
Yep.
And then we have the last bit of news on thestreet.com. In their consumer news section, there's an article titled "Retro Toys and Games Making a Comeback" by Joe Mont, and it goes in to talk about how basically books and action figures, people are still, even though there's a whole bunch of high-tech toys, kids and families are still buying them, and retro is making a comeback, essentially. And it goes on to mention that Hasbro refers to the power of their portfolio of iconic brands as what really powers them.
We got nothing original. That's yeah.
They have among the best sellers, there were some very old and recognizable names, Nerf, G.I. Joe, Strawberry Shortcake, and My Little Pony. The company has also benefited from the ever-popular line of Star Wars-related action figures and yet another wave of movie-fueled demand for Transformers. So pretty cool to get mentioned as one of the top-selling brands for Hasbro during this season.
That is awesome. Very awesome. You don't see that very often.
Yeah, we were talking in pre-show, and I'm not sure where Joe falls in this list. And then Justin mentioned that you don't see Marvel anywhere on there, which is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going through this list, and I went through a couple pages of this article, and if I'll be damned if Katie's asking for one of the easy bake oven things, and I'm like, no, because it's a mess. I told her to take it over to her grandparents' house and ask Santa Claus to have it delivered there.
No, because that's less money for my G.I. Joes, damn it.
No, I'm saying I don't want to clean that up.
7-packs from BBTS, and you're going to like it.
No, she'll take my 7-packs.
We'll keep them in Daddy's room.
She'll take my Joes and put them in this easy bake oven and melt them. But no, she's asking for that. I mean, it's not. It hasn't been. I want this for the Wii or this or that or for the PlayStation or whatever. It's been stuff like that. It's been Easy Bake Oven and dolls and stuff. So I mean, retro is definitely back in. It's right. And I'm not saying it's anything that I'm impressing upon her, because I like Joe doesn't mean that she has to like anything that I like. But I think a lot of it has to do in the way that everything's being advertised. I have seen the commercials on TV for Strawberry Shortcake and Barbie and the Easy Bake Oven and Legos and all that stuff. So I don't think parents have a lot to do with this. I think it's still the big marketing machine is influencing what kids want still.
Yes, definitely. And hey, if she's watching the Hub all the time, then she's probably getting a whole bunch of Hasbro advertisements crammed down her throat.
Oh yeah, yeah, Hub and Disney XD and Nickelodeon, you name it.
I'll be honest, I don't see a lot of Hasbro product advertised on the Hub. I mean, outside of commercials for the cartoons, I mean, I don't see G.I. Joe toy ads, Transformer toy ads.
I read an article somewhere where Hasbro was limited to how much Hasbro toy advertising they could do on the Hub. I don't know, maybe I'm imagining.
Yeah, no, you know what, Justin? I heard the same thing. It's like there's...
Oh, then I know what's wrong. I'm sorry, I don't pay any attention to I'm sorry. No, I think you're right, though. Yeah, there was something about just forcing their own product on impressionable minds with their own TV channel, so I think there's something to that. Are we all right, Chuck?
I think
cool?
You hurt his feelings.
We all right?
Yeah, we're cool, you bald bastard.
He's getting lippy today.
I know.
Are you getting salty?
No, just, you know, cranky, irritable, tired. It's the holidays. What do you expect?
It's a wonderful time of the year, Chuck.
Especially when Herb's singing it to us.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, and that's it for the news for the week. And now we can move on to what we got in. So, Chuck, did you get anything in this week?
Did I mention getting the Viper action figure from Gary last week? I don't remember.
No, you didn't.
Oh, well, I got a 30th anniversary Viper from Gary.
Right.
I got to say,
you're
welcome.
The new guns that he comes with are incredible. I mean, I know you guys are going to crack up. For some reason, he can actually hold that classic Viper rifle a little bit better.
I worked on it a little bit. No.
But, I love it.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, real good.
I love that rifle with the grenade launcher up front with the round ammo drum.
Mm-hmm.
So I even popped out the Pursuit of Cobra Viper. I actually gave him the rifle that the M16 grenade launcher that came with Wolverine version 300,000 from the Marvel Universe line. And nice. It's great. I just have him like standing side by side, just like in that little Scarface type of pose, just mowing people down. I mean, besides the guns and stuff, it is the same figure as the Pursuit of Cobra Viper. And, you know, it's cool. I mean, if you have the option, I would say pick up more of these guys than the Pursuit of Cobra, just because you get more guns with him, which allows for a variety in your troop building and what have you. But other than that, that was it. One thing I do especially want to say is last week I made a comment where I referred to Joe fans as heroes and Transformers fans as engineers. And some of the Joe fans who happen to be engineers got a little upset. This is where I was coming from. Shout Factory Transformers DVD collection had a round table discussion with all the voice actors. One of the guys said something like, you know, when the fans come up to me and they said, well, you know, you were the voice of Perceptor or whomever, and, you know, oh, I became an engineer, I became a scientist. And I said, oh, that's so wonderful. Well, one of the guys sitting next to him was Michael Bell, and he was nodding his head along. Remember that. In the Joe DVD set, it was the same thing. They switched out a couple of the voice actors, but it was predominantly the same people. Michael Bell said, when the fans come up to me and they say, well, you know, I've gone into the military, I've done this, he's like, whoa, wait a minute, I don't know if I want to be responsible for that. And he was starting to act like it was a bad thing, and that bothered me. Great.
Mm-hmm.
What I really should have said is Joe fans can kick the ass of Transformer fans. A couple exceptions.
He's finally starting to see the light.
And that's why I always make a point of saying Joe fans are heroes, because I remember what Michael Bell said, and it embarrassed me that he would think, you know, the fact that he inspired someone to become a soldier, and that he would think that's a bad thing, you know, and I don't. And to those of you who think that maybe I don't love the Joe brand or the Joe fans, let me tell you something. I may not go nuts for every little thing that the Joe brand does, but I'll be damn sure to tell you I love the fans, and I will always hold the fan base in the highest regard, because you guys go out there every day play and do things that I can't do and that most people I know can't do. So that's a special thank you to all of you. And if I have ever offended you, I'm sorry. But now you know the story and where I'm coming from on this.
Justin, what about you?
I added to my zombie viper army a little bit. I got my shipment in from Kokomo Toys, which gave me a few more zombie vipers. So I stocked up a little bit on those.
I touched yours, very special.
That's good. That's good. I thought I smelled a little Gary juice on them.
Lord.
What? I just meant like, I don't know what I meant. I can't make that any worse than that.
You know, this is the kind of stuff that gives Herb from Rhode Island ammunition for his little voicemail.
It's all right. Let him talk about Gary juice. That's fine with me. So yeah, I got that. I don't think I know I talked about the Snake Horse Pizza comics last week. Gary gave me his address, so I've passed his copies along to him. I need to get addresses from Chuck and Greg so I can send them along to you guys, and you guys can check them out.
Thank you.
But I think that's about all I got, unless I'm forgetting something. I did. I was up in near Burlington, Vermont today, a little thing for the state of Vermont, and I stopped by a Toys R Us up there. And I had stopped there a couple weeks ago, and they had a whole big, long row of G.I. Joe 30th Anniversary and G.I. Joe Renegade figures and the Crimson Hiss tanks and stuff, and a lot of it was cleared out, which I was happy to see. The tanks were definitely gone. Now I'd say probably about half or three quarters of the figures were gone.
All right, give it up for the collectors in Vermont.
Nice. It was good. It was cool. And that store was freaking packed. I don't think I've ever been in a Toys R Us this close to Christmas. My God.
Yeah, they are crazy right now.
Yeah, makes it your last time to do that, huh?
Yeah, no
kidding. Just like to throw it out there right now, Gary's juice, trending worldwide.
Here we go. Here we go.
Dreadnought sex is too, Chuck. In
case. I said sets.
We'll go back and review the tape on that one.
Well, as for myself, I got in. I ordered G.I. Joe the Animated Movie off of Amazon. Rather than buying that Rise of Cobra prologue, whatever that comic was, Justin, I asked you about.
Yep.
I decided to spend the $8 on the movie instead, which is a much better choice.
Wow, Rise of Cobra or the Animated Movie? Wow, talk about a lesser of two evils. Woo.
It was a prologue comic that Justin said was.
Yeah. It was fair. It was nothing.
Yeah, not worth $9 or $8, whatever it was. And then I'm starting to fill in some of the older trades that I don't have. So I picked up G.I. Joe Marvel Reprints Volume 1. So I need that in Volume 2, and then I'm all caught up on that. And then I also put in an order with Hunter Artworks, who it's a guy that does casting for figures. So he does heads and weapons and holsters and all sorts of stuff. So I picked up, I'm a big fan of blast effects. So the Marvel Universe line, they come with like the, basically shows them using their powers, or there's the ones that came out in the convention a couple years ago with a jetpack. So you can just stick them on a stand. He does blast effects for weapons. So it looks like they're actually firing the weapons. So I picked up a couple of those just to check them out. And they're actually pretty neat. I think I'm going to try to attach them to some weapons and take some pictures, put them up on Facebook if I get a chance.
Sweet. I wanted to try out his stuff a lot. I just haven't had a chance to pick any of it up yet, but
I wanted to say that might help your Dio stories.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, you won't have to do the actual art for it.
Yeah.
And then this is actually the second order I did with him. The earlier one I picked up, he did a couple things for the Jungle Viper. So one of them was a smaller head scope to attach to it instead of having the long one to look through as a smaller one that's got neat details. And then a different version for the back camouflage to attach to its more detail, not just like a post with three knobs on it. It actually looks like machinery. So kind of interesting. A little variety to your figures if you don't want the standard look to them, essentially.
Cool.
So, Greg, I have to ask, which version of the G.I. Joe Animated Movie did you get? The Rhino version or the newer Shout Factory release?
I think it's the Shout Factory because it has I think it has Buzz Dixon doing the commentary.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Well, I mean, you just if it has commentary, period, it's the Shout Factory version.
Okay. Yeah, I haven't had a chance to watch it yet, but I'll probably do that hopefully sometime over the weekend.
Now, the stuff from Hunter Artworks, you said, is that, do you have to paint that or does that come in the right colors or what?
It comes in black. The accessories like the visor and the backpack.
Yep.
The flame effects that he does, they all come like reddish orange. They actually look like fire. So it actually looks pretty good. I'll make sure I put up some pictures for people to take a look at. And the price, like the customer service is awesome. The first thing he sent me got, I don't know, lost in the mail somewhere. And I let him know about it. And he's like, okay, I'll just send out replacements for you. And they were there a couple days later. So that was awesome of him.
I'll remember that. Maybe a lot of stuff will get quote unquote lost in the mail.
Yes.
Justin, honest, everybody. All right.
And speaking of lost in the mail, so I ordered Wave 4 through Kokomo, and I know Gary was up there on Wednesday helping them get them put together and sent out. So I was like, oh, I probably should get it by Friday. I'm sure Gary helped out quite a bit. So I looked on Friday, and the tracking for it had it landing in New York. So I live in Wisconsin. So, so I'm assuming Gary played some sort of prank where he actually sent it to Chuck instead. So, Chuck, you should be on lookout for Wave 4.
No, but I did rub your special.
Okay, well, if I ever get it.
The Gary juice, yeah. The...
Not again.
Whoever's handling Gary's package is getting a lot of Gary juice right now. Postal service.
Wow. Well, hopefully you get that wave here soon. I don't know what...
I blame Herb from Rhode Island. It's all Herb's fault.
Herb.
Guys, let's be honest. Gary hasn't had his packages handled in quite a long time. I mean,
oh, man.
Chuck, I should not... You know what? I definitely shouldn't take that abuse from all people like you. I'm just saying. Anyways, what I got in... I got Wave 4 from Small Joe's. So I got two waves of Wave 4. One from Coco, one from Small Joe's. Always supporting the small business Joe collectors. I managed to find the new variant Marvel Universe Thor with the blue hammer.
Okay, good for you.
I don't know if you've seen that one, Greg. Have you?
Marvel Universe or Marvel Legends?
Marvel Universe Thor with the blue hammer.
I haven't heard of it. Okay.
Yeah.
So, Malibu Stacy with her new hat.
there's nothing wrong with that. Thor?
Yeah, actually, it's Series 2, Number 12, but they reissued it with a blue hammer.
Okay. All right.
Interesting.
Very interesting. I haven't heard of it.
And I am going up to Kokomo Toys on Thursday. Don't worry, I won't be touching anyone else's Joes because all their orders have been shipped out. But they do have the new wave of Marvel Universe figures up there that I will be picking up for myself. So... that's recently what I got in.
We have a very special guest, I believe.
Hold on, Greg. He's actually, I should have told you guys sooner. He got into my Jim Beam earlier, and I think he sort of passed out on my couch watching a Deep Purple DVD. Hold on, let me go grab him.
All right.
Hey, you lush, get up. What? Hello? Hello, is this thing on? Jesus Christ, how do you use these stupid headsets? Hello?
You put it on your ball sack.
At least that's what Chuck does.
Please, the judge was clear about that last time.
who are we speaking to?
Little boy. Sorry about that. That's a pack of menthols and a bottle of Jack Daniels coming back up on me.
Sounds like Krusty the Clown.
Oh, I think it was a little bit of that breakfast burrito, too. Well, Merry Christmas, boys and girls. Oh, who am I kidding? This is a toy podcast. There's doubtful any girls are listening, but it's your old pal, Santa's younger, better-looking brother, Salty. How y'all doing tonight?
Doing good, Salty.
That's good.
So how does it feel to be the third real-life G.I. Joe, Salty?
Actually, you know, there's a miscount. See, a lot of people think it's just Sergeant Slaughter, me, and Rowdy Piper. But let's not forget William Refrigerator Perry. Yeah, that gap-tooth. he and I once went out in the 80s after a football game. Oh, man, what a night. But this is a family show, so I can't go into too many details. Got kicked out of the bar that night. But yeah, it feels good. We all have our special roles. Mine. Santa's got the good girls and boys covered. I take care of the more intermediate ones, you know, as I like to call them, the PAPs.
What does that stand for?
Politicians, atheists, and porn stars.
I see.
Think about it. You know, politicians, they're not necessarily bad people, but they're not necessarily good people. And, you know, porn stars, you know, they're not necessarily bad people, although Salty kind of likes it when they're a little bad. Sorry. Menthols.
Hey, Salty, this is Gary. What kind of sleigh do you have?
Actually, Gary, unfortunately, times have been a little tough. I had to turn in the sleigh, it was repossessed. I now get around with a two-door spec. It's not as bad of a fit as you might think. I mean, I'm a rather large guy. I fit in there pretty well with a, you know, sack full of dry meat and classic rock CDs, because that's what I give out to people. But and it gets great gas mileage. And let's be honest, in this day and age, that's what counts.
That's very true.
Justin, you have anything to rescue this?
I'm speechless.
Justin, yeah, look, this...
Whoa, Salty Sand, I think you just broke the internet. You have anything else that you want to say to the intermediate boys and girls of the world before you come visit them on, the 26th?
Something like that.
Okay.
It's, you know, depending on traffic and, you know, whether Salty has to sleep it off in jail. But, Justin, it's funny, I was going over your Christmas list because I'm outsourcing a little with Santa this year. Was it 3 or 4 bottles of Rogaine you wanted?
Six,
all right. And, Greg...
some other part of my body besides my head.
Yeah.
I thought for sure Viagra was included in that one.
Well, it's funny, Greg, you're asking for 2 jars of ass cream, is that correct? Yeah.
What the hell is ass cream? Ass cream, exactly.
I don't ask, I don't ask, I just pray. All right, but yeah, no, actually, if I can just say one thing to the, you know, in-betweeners, forget the milk and cookies. A nice malt liquor and maybe an old issue of the Inquirer, that's all I need. I like to keep with my celebrity gossip, but all right, Chuck's starting to pull on me, so Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, and remember, Santa's always looking, especially if you're hot and have a big chest. Bye for now.
Good grief.
You ever get the feeling that it's like when Clark Kent disappears?
I'm so sorry. Oh, God, I hope that wasn't too bad.
Do you mean that as part of the bit, or do you mean that really?
I honestly ran into the bathroom, so I didn't hear most of what he was saying. So I
consider yourself lucky. We unfortunately heard every word.
Well, you know, that's how he is. I mean, Greg, he didn't hit on your girlfriend too much, did he, or fiance too much?
No, I don't believe so.
Oh, thank God. Ugh, how many fights I've had to break up over that. All right, well, let's move on. What's the next step in the agenda?
We all kill ourselves.
This will be the least listened to podcast we've ever done, right next to episode number 1.
0.
Zero actually has a good number of listens too. I'm surprised at that. Oof. Thanks for voting in the top 4 Chuck moments of 2011. The winner, actually by a slim margin, but still the winner was the poutine bit, where Chuck went up and rescued Greg. And following a little pause here, we will play that for you so you can relive it. Now, as you know, we have 2 other co-hosts here on the program. I have no idea where this is going to go, so we're going to try this. He's a syndicated columnist of InsidePulse.com and the newest member of the Bring 'Em Back Alive Club. But that's a good TV show. Anyone see that back in the 80s? Bring 'Em Back Alive.
Must have missed that one.
Oh, look it up. Bruce Boxleitner.
Animal?
Maybe, I don't know. Anyways, everyone welcome Chuck.
Hey, Gary. Hey, Justin. How's it going today?
Doing great, Chuck. How you doing?
I'm doing all right.
Now, Chuck, last time we left you, you were getting ready to take common household items and your Snake Eye sword up to Canada to rescue Greg. So go ahead and tell us your tale of rescue. You have roughly 3 minutes and 53 seconds. I say that in case anyone wants to fast forward.
Okay. Well, if you all remember, I said all I needed was a toothbrush and some duct tape. Well, I drove up as far to the border as I could, covered myself in the duct tape with the sticky side out. Not as difficult as you might think. Rolled around in the ground, attracting debris so I could disguise myself as tumbleweed. I just easily rolled across the border. Next, I proceeded to make my way to the jail facility where Greg was being held. Not that difficult when you realize that Canada, big open place, they only one jail, and they advertise it. So, thankfully, by this point, I had the cover of night for me. I made my way in, ducking underneath. Tried to cut through the fence, and then I realized that my wonderful replica Snake Eye sword is actually dull. Because, you know, safety regulations, they couldn't sharpen it. But that's okay. I was able to fight a sharpened the end of the toothbrush to make it into a shank. Remember the last couple episodes, and was able to use that to cut through. Finally, I made it into the yard, diving underneath the spotlight, which weren't there for security, but were advertising the Tim Hortons across the street that had just opened.
Don't knock Tim Hortons.
Hey, no, Timbits rule.
Okay.
So, I thought I was going to have to pick the lock, but apparently they don't lock anything in Canada, and I walked right in. Now, they keep foreign prisoners in a separate section, and, well, Greg was the only one, so he was rather easy to find. And I guess this goes without saying, but if the door was open, his cell door was unlocked, which makes me kind of wonder why Greg didn't try walking out. Well, I found him. He was a little disheveled, malnourished, because all they were giving him was poutine and beer.
Poutine. Poutine.
That's what I said.
No, that was not what you said.
Poutine.
Oh, God.
That's why I didn't want to leave.
Alright, so basically, Greg unfortunately was too weak to walk. And I think also a little drunk from the beer. So I had to pick him up. And I ran, and I'm carrying him out. And as we're leaving, we're clear the fence, we're back into the cool of the night. Inexplicably, the jail bursts into an explosion behind me. Also inexplicably, my shirt rips open and starts blowing in a breeze where I don't know it came from, as I'm carrying Greg back, all the way back home, reassuring him that he's safe now.
Now this bit's really more uncomfortable considering the music I'm playing. Anyways.
That's why I wanted you to play that music. So I was able to get him back. And Greg, all I want to say to you is you have three, sort of four co-hosts. Besides me. I mean, including me. Who was the only one that gave a damn to come and get you?
That would be you.
That's right. Don't you forget that.
I won't. Even though I failed in my big mission of finding Yoshiko, they even had 10 of them sitting there, and I could have just stolen and ran away with it, but...
You like that Sky Striker that's now going on eBay.
Well, that was an awesome, harrowing tale. Oh, that
I couldn't tell you. I didn't hear anything after Poontang. After that, it was all done.
Chuck, what do you think of this bit?
Do you know, to be honest, I've always felt that there was stuff I've done on the show since then that was a lot funnier. But, you know, the fact that this was literally a Freudian slip, I mean, it wasn't planned. It wasn't something I wanted to do. It was just, I was so nervous about screwing up that, hey, guess what? I screwed up. So it is what it is. And the fact that it's something that people remember, it was really, I would say, the first big funny bit we had on the show. And it just was something, the whole Rescue Greg was something I just came up with on a spur of a moment thing, but you know, it is what it is. And you know, let's see 2-3 years from now if people still remember it.
I've already forgotten.
What? Huh?
Who?
Yeah. All right, Greg.
I think we are done for the week.
Ah, nice. Justin, would you like to remind us who our guest will be in 2 weeks?
Yes, in 2 weeks, because we're taking next week off for Christmas, you freeloading bastards. Next time. January 3rd.
He said he was salty today. He did admit going up front that he was going to be a little salty today.
Yeah, I'm in a pissy mood. Sorry. Anyway, I won't be in a pissy mood on July. Jeez, on January 3rd. I'm here wishing for summer because it's like 10 below out here. On January 3rd, we will be having Robert Atkins on the podcast, which will be extremely exciting. He's been the artist for IDW's G.I. Joe title and currently, he's taking a little break at the moment, but he'll be back with issue number 13 of Snake Eyes, one of my favorite IDW artists out there right now. So Robert Atkins will join us and talk about designing the new Cobra Commander uniform and all sorts of fun stuff like that. So I'll look forward to that. We're recording that on January 3rd, so it'll be posted some point very shortly thereafter.
Okay. And that does it for the 36th consecutive week. Whew. Wipe a brow. Take a bow. Give yourself a pat on the back, fellas.
Whew, man. We did it. 3/4 of a year.
Wiping myself down with a moist towel.
Okay. Okay.
BMI.
If you wish to talk to us going forward, you may contact us at whatsonjoemind@gmail.com. I completely understand if you wish to stop right now. You can call or text us at 262-515-9656, and we do appreciate Will Bell giving us a call from the nether regions of Afghanistan. Read about us on Facebook at facebook.com/whatsonjoemind. On Facebook, you'll find a link to our Podbean site. You'll find links to all of our social networking profiles and active forum threads from such forums as Joe to Classified, Joe Battleline, Joe Sightings, and the G.I. Joe Collectors Club. You can download our show at iTunes, at InsightPulse.com, and at Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it for free in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio and What's On Your Mind, we are the smarter way to listen to radio. That's been a great addition to our roster this year. Stitcher's pretty cool. If you guys don't have it, definitely get it. Check out GeekCastRadio.com. I can't say enough about these guys. Check out their other flagship podcast shows and the new ones that we just mentioned at the intermission. But always, there's Movie Week in Review, Tooncast Beyond, and Telecast are some of the good ones among everything they have there. You can find them all at GeekCastRadio.com and Unleash the Geek in You today. Next week, as Greg says, we gone.
We gone.
We gone. There's no podcast, but always... always check your stockings well. You never know what might be stashed at the very, very bottom. Cryptic hint, I know. So, for our showrunner, Greg, our co-host, Justin and Chuck, I'm Gary, saying to all our men and women serving, God bless, Godspeed, and come home safe to everyone. Good night, folks. Thanks for listening. Thanks for making us a part of your 2011. Happy holidays, and we will see you in 2012 for the next episode of What's On Joe Mind, the official podcast of Roll Out Roll Call 3. Happy holidays, guys. See ya.
Happy holidays. Thank you.
Merry Happy Christmas. Holidays. Merry Christmas. Be well, everyone.